Today is the joyful feast of the presentation of the Lord. It begins with a joyful procession, candlelight procession. I don't know if we were that joyful. I was trying to remember the lyrics of Liwanag ng Aming Puso, but I couldn't remember them all. Anyway, it's symbolically joyful, right? To be carrying a light, to be entering into the temple, to encounter the Lord. That's the whole point here. The carrying of the candles is both a light of hope that we will meet the Lord, and also an expression that we already have the Lord, the light of Christ, in our hearts and in our hands. So it's a beautiful tradition, this blessing of the candles and the carrying of the candles into the church. This feast day of the presentation has very many elements to it, very many lessons. Perhaps you have many of them in your own mind from pondering the fourth joyful mystery of the Rosary, presentation of the Lord. In the Gospel, that's the description of this event, it starts out with the Holy Family fulfilling the law. It mentions the law again and again, the dictates of the law of the Lord, according to the law of Moses, fulfilling the law. That's what the Holy Family, that's what Joseph and Mary were doing. That was the law. If you had a child, you present the child, and you offer the sacrifice required for the purification of the mother. So that's what they did, fulfilling the law, even though Mary was in no way defiled, of course. And in fact, childbirth is not defiling in the moral sense. It's just in the ritual sense. Anyway, they were doing what every faithful Jew would do at the birth of the firstborn. But after that mention of the law, it stops mentioning the law and starts to focus on the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, because Simeon is a man of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is upon him. He came in the Spirit to the temple. The Holy Spirit revealed to him that he would see the Messiah. So the focus shifts from the law to the Spirit. And this feast day is a kind of threshold feast day from law to Spirit, or from Old Testament to New Testament, or from old to new. The symbol of, or the view of Simeon, the old man, holding the new child. It's only 40 days old, so he's an infant. That captures this transition from old to new, from Simeon's long-held hope to the fulfillment of that hope in this newborn baby, Jesus. I don't know what a 40-day-old child is capable of doing. I don't think very much. Can they sit up? I don't think so. They can't sit up. Okay, so they can't talk. They can't walk. Jesus couldn't talk, couldn't walk, couldn't say any sounds. I think a child can recognize the mother pretty quickly. So at least the voice of the mother, or the smell of the mother, or the whatever. There's something that a child picks up very quickly, but really nothing else. So this is a helpless child, and this is a striking thing, right? What Simeon was longing to see was the Messiah, and what the prophets foretold was the coming of the Messiah to the temple. And when it actually happens, it's this little baby, this helpless baby. So it's a view of the Messiah that requires eyes of faith, because he doesn't look very Messiah-like. The prophecy of Malachi, which was today's first reading, says that suddenly there will come to the temple the Lord whom you seek, and who will endure the day of his coming. In other words, this is going to be a day of strife, refinement, purification. Who can stand it? Who's going to be able to tolerate when the Messiah comes and sets everything right? Well, turns out he's not very frightening at all. He's a little baby. Same thing with the psalm we had today, Psalm 24. Who is this King of Glory? It is the Lord. So this psalm proclaims a welcome to the Lord, that the temple should open up the gates, that open up the doorways and make room for this great figure. Turns out to be a little baby. So this is the surprise that comes with the fulfillment of the prophecies. But our focus is usually more on the experience of Simeon and Anna, these two holy, older, consecrated people, meaning entirely focused on the Lord. And as I was reflecting on them, I thought back to what we heard yesterday. Remember, yesterday's gospel was the Beatitudes. And one of the Beatitudes, I think, applies to them very beautifully. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the clean of heart. Sometimes it's translated pure of heart. Sometimes it's translated single-hearted. But blessed are those whose focus is entirely on the Lord without any distraction, without any other agenda. They will see God. Now, we know that we can't see God in this life. We see God in the next life. We see Him face to face, the beatific vision. So the implication of the Beatitude, blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God, means if we remain clean of heart in this life, we see God in the next life. But there's also a kind of seeing God in this life because of faith. And this goes to the experience of Simeon and Anna. They saw God in faith. Simeon is the one who expresses it. Anna, of course, doesn't say anything in the gospel. I mean, she speaks about the child to everyone, but we don't know exactly what she says. But we know what Simeon says. Simeon, again, holding this newborn, this 40-day-old infant in his hand, says, "Now, Master," speaking to the Lord, "now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation." My eyes have seen your salvation. This child is salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all the peoples. Well, the peoples don't know it yet, of course, because he has barely been revealed. Who knows? Joseph and Mary know. I don't know if anyone else knows. Who knows? But Simeon knows. This child is salvation, prepared in the sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel. So this child is a light, the light of the world. Again, I'll stress it again. He doesn't look like a light. He doesn't look like a mighty warrior. He doesn't look like a king of glory. He doesn't have any appearance of messiahship. But Simeon sees it. He sees it with the eyes of faith. He sees it inspired by the Holy Spirit. So when we read the Beatitude, blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God, we can apply it to ourselves when we have eyes of faith. Because with eyes of faith, we do see God. Well, certainly we see Him in the Mass. We see Him in the Blessed Sacrament. But we also see Him at work in the world, in our own lives, in the lives of one another, if we have eyes of faith, because God is always at work. God is always speaking. God is always revealing Himself. If we have eyes of faith, we see Him. If we're clean of heart, we see Him. Just like Simeon and Anna. Another one of the Beatitudes that I think applies to Simeon and Anna. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. To hunger and thirst for righteousness, to have a longing for the fulfillment of God's plan, to have a thirst for justice to be established, not human justice, not earthly, worldly justice, which always has some injustice mixed in, but God's justice, God's righteousness, this longing for the kingdom of God to come. Like Simeon had this longing, because it was promised him that he would see the Messiah. So ever since he got that promise, and we don't know when it was, ever since he got that promise, he was hungering and thirsting for its fulfillment. Anna, who we know was a faithful woman, it says here that she never left the temple. She worshipped night and day with fasting and prayer. And when she met the Lord, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. Well, awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem is the same as hungering and thirsting for righteousness. It's this beatitude, inner disposition that makes it possible for us to be satisfied when the Lord acts. How does it say it? That's the beatitude. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be satisfied. Now we know we cannot be satisfied fully in this life. Satisfaction comes when we get to heaven, when we meet God face to face. But in faith, there's a satisfaction. There's an awareness or a trust that God is doing the right thing, that he's establishing his kingdom, that justice will be done. Even if we don't see it with our eyes, we see it with faith. And if we hunger and thirst for it, if we're longing for it, if we're opening up a space in our heart for it, then we can be satisfied in anticipation. Simeon and Anna, they had light in their hearts before they had the light revealed to their eyes, before they saw Jesus with their eyes. They had the light of hope for years before they saw that hope being fulfilled or that longing being satisfied with the arrival of Jesus. So this is why they're great witnesses for us, they're great teachers for us, how to continue through this journey in a world that's full of injustice, full of darkness. It doesn't seem like light all the time. It doesn't seem like things are working out according to God's plan all the time. But if we have the light of faith, light in our hearts, light of hope, we can trust that God is at work and that God is present and that his righteousness is more powerful than the injustices of the world, and we can continue our pilgrimage. That's why the candlelight procession is fitting for today, even though the scriptures don't mention anything about candles. This idea of carrying light through a dark world, being light bearers in a dark world, is a very beautiful one, and it's very accurate because we are not in darkness. We're in a dark world, but we're not in darkness because of faith. We're not in darkness because Jesus has come, the light of the world has come, and we have received him. We have encountered him. He has been presented to the world. He's made himself known in creation. That's what we celebrate. So it is a joyful feast, and it is a feast of light, a feast in which we are invited to be light bearers, to welcome the light, like Simeon and Anna, and to carry light, like Mary. In the Spanish and Filipino tradition, this is Our Lady of Candelaria. There's an emphasis on Mary as the light bearer. It's not emphasized in the scriptures so much or in the liturgy, but in the tradition, this is a day to honor Mary, the candle bearer. And we had a statue in the church yesterday with Mary holding a candle. Or if you've ever been to PCJ, that's the picture. That's the image of Mary at the PCJ's presentation of the Child Jesus Parish there in Parañaque. The image is Mary holding a candle. Candle in one hand, Child Jesus in the other hand. So it's symbolic of what happens on this day when we receive the light of Christ, and the light of Christ is entrusted to us, and then we become bearers of light, like our Blessed Mother, to carry the light of Christ into the world. So with joy, we continue our procession with hope, with faith, with joy, with confidence that God's plan is really being fulfilled in our midst.